It's good to be in God's house this morning, and we're glad that you're here. Anyone that's visiting with us, we want you to feel a special welcome in the presence of the Lord. It's always good to be in God's house. Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I pray that's the way you feel. Let me pray. Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for loving us enough that you sent Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your mercy and grace, which forgives us of our sins. Thank you for the eternal life that we have through Jesus. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you that you're going to speak to our hearts. We're going to hear from you. And Father, I thank you for the commitments that will come out of this time in your presence. Lord, I pray that every person here will feel your love before they leave this building. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning, and it's another beautiful day to be in the Lord's house. We came here to worship his name, and I hope you all have, and I know you have. And so we came here to praise him, and our hymn sing today is Praise Him, Praise Him, Praise Him, page 227, as we stand. You don't need to look at the screen, you look up on the board. remain standing for prayer, please. You may be seated. Good morning again. It is good to see you all this morning. I believe today is Evan's birthday, and Evan, and the reason I'm recognizing you is because you're like me. You're moving along, and I'm not going to say how old you are, but you might be one of the oldest members we have right now. Would you agree with that?
I'm 87 today.
87 today. And we've probably got one of our youngest members, Andon. Here you are. Before the day is your birthday, we go from the oldest to the youngest. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just wonderful? Rosina, yes.
Margie is older,
88. Margie. Hey, is today your birthday, Margie?
No, it's in August.
Oh, okay.
She'll be 89.
I didn't think I missed it. If I had, she'll be 89 in August. Well, wonderful. Isn't that God good? Isn't He all the time? Amen. It's wonderful. Good to see you. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Hey, listen, we have a few announcements for you I want to share with you. First, the insert in your bulletin today. As you have your insert in the bulletin, as you all know, those of you who have been in attendance each Sunday, our pastor has preached each Sunday for the last, this will be 18 times through, of the characteristics of a New Testament church. And if you don't know what the characteristics are of a New Testament church, right here you are, and you can remember the sermons. Every one of them, some of them were painful because it reminded me how lax I really was. And I do thank you for that. But right here we go. Read that. It's very good information. I want to thank you for a generous donation to the Baptist Children's Home for Carol Kelly. And we appreciate that for her made to there. Homecoming is September the 7th. And come and be with us for the day. And we'll have our Towers Quartet. The Towers will be here to be singing during that time. Then we have the new Youth Sunday School class. Anyone want to mention that, Lionel, you or Kenny, anybody, any of the kids, you know, join your new class, your youth? Anybody want to say anything about it? You want to say something about your new class? You enjoy it? You're smiling. That's a good thing. Okay. Anyway, we did do that, and I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Yes, go, Lyle. Appreciate it. And I'm sorry.
We're hoping to find some younger teachers too, because the two teachers use a lot of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting a little bit up there.
Thank you for your point. And you and Gary are. Gary, we do thank you as well. I didn't mean not. He's behind the column, but I want you to know, Gary, we appreciate you too. And you and Lionel's right. He was talking about how old you both are, but isn't it wonderful to be able to get old and still be able to. You get old, still contribute. I think it's wonderful that you do. But the nominating committee will be meeting, so we listen to you, what you're loud and clear about that. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked at this time? Yes, Kenny. Yes, sir. Thank you, Kenny, for mentioning that. Okay. All right. Now, your meeting, Constitution Committee will meet classroom down next to the office, okay? And Janice has asked me to remind you also that the Constitution meeting Wednesday will be in that same room. So I'm not the Constitution, the nominating committee. I'll get it right. You're not having a meeting there too. So the nominating committee will be in that meeting next Wednesday night. Okay, so be sure to be there for that. Okay, we're all getting busy again. That's really good. Really, really good. All right, any other announcements?
Adult prayer time tonight.
You know what? That is true, and the youth too. Well, the youth will be meeting at 5 today, right, Grant? And then also the adult prayer times at 5, and the adult church training will also be at 5:30. Thank you for reminding me of that. So, okay. Any other announcements? All right. Let's now go to our prayer requests, if we can, please. I've had a couple requests already mentioned that Brother Jim's surgery has been scheduled now for the 30th, and it's 20. Okay, I got that wrong too. Yeah, it's one of my days, the 20th. Okay, and then Angie, Tony, and Ruth's daughter-in-law is going to have surgery as well. So let's keep her in our prayers as well. Rosanna, good to have you back. I know you've been under the weather, so it's good to see you back with us. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny.
And that,
well, praise the Lord, Kenny. I it's good. God blessed you to do that. I wonder why you couldn't shake my hand this morning, and I guess I know now why. I thought he was mad at me. No, I praise God for his miracle. I praise God for his miracle. Anybody else? Yes, Lori. Thank you. And Jeff, you got a trip ahead of you. Where your mother's service, and we will be praying for you and the family.
August 29th.
The 29th, August.
That woman will be leaving. Her service will be on the 3rd.
Okay. All right. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for another blessing that you've given us to be able to be here in our places today. And Lord, we're so thankful that you are a true and living God, awesome God, and able to answer the prayers that we're going to ask you for. But Lord, like I always try to always do, before I ask you for anything, I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you've already given us. Thank you for these praise reports that we've heard this morning. And Lord, they're so wonderful to hear. Thank you for the fact that the older people are celebrating birthdays, Lord, and the older times have come. But Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon them, that they're able to be with us. And then, Lord, for our youngest, Lord, that's here representing the youth, we thank you, Lord, for them. We ask your continued blessing upon us, leading, guiding, and direct us, we pray. We pray for Brother Jim, who is going to be having surgery on the 20th. We lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for Angie, Tony, and Ruth's daughter-in-law, Lord. We pray for her as she is has surgery ahead of her. Praise reports, Lord, we've heard this morning, and we thank you, Lord. And we continue to lift up those in the nursing homes, Lord. We know, Lord, that there's some lonesome times. There's times when they do need new so many times where they need comfort and care. And, Lord, we thank you for these times. And we thank you, Lord, for your strength and your guidance. Now, Lord, as we lift up Lori and Jeff and the family, we pray for them as they travel, as they go with his mother after his mother's death. We pray for them. Now, Lord, go with our pastor, Lord, as he comes before us and leads us in the sermon today. And we thank you, Lord, for all these are here today. We pray a special blessing for our visitors today. Indeed, Lord, they are a special guest, and we thank you for them being here. Now, Lord, we ask you, as we go forward, Lord, we pray this blessings, all these blessings that we asked, and this prayer we pray is your sweet name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to our song of praise today. The song of praise is "Here I Am to Worship." I had a worship theme today as we had a praise theme. And I had the praise theme so strongly, we actually sang the same song yet this morning that we sang last Sunday. Did anybody notice that? But anyway, I knew you wouldn't. No, CTC. But we did. But there's a reason for it. Number one, I messed up. And then number two, God's will is we sing more about his praises. Let's all stand and sing "Here I Am to Worship."
How much it costs.
Children, you are dismissed.
I put that list together for characteristics of the New Testament church. I thought today's sermon was going to be the last one, but then by the time I went to sleep last night, a couple more ideas went floating through my mind, so it may or may not be the last one, but we'll see. And of course, you can look at the list and you remember all the sermons and everything I said for the last 18 weeks, right? But no list of the characteristics of the New Testament church would be complete without what we're going to talk about today, and that is they were excited and waiting and looking for Jesus to return. All through the New Testament, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Now, Jesus told them on several occasions, only the Father in heaven knows. But they kept saying, when are you coming back? Now let's look at some of the promises. Let's see what Jesus said in John 14. It's one of many places, but it's one we read often at funerals. But it's a reminder, John 14, the first few verses. And this is a promise of Jesus, God who cannot lie. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, I will come, I will get you, I will take you to be with me, and you'll be with me forever. Now you remember in the book of Acts, the first chapter, Jesus takes the disciples out and they see him ascend unto heaven. And verse 9 of Acts chapter 1 says this, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Angels also promised the return of Jesus. The disciples watched Jesus disappear, and they're standing there sort of shaking their heads and puzzled, and suddenly these two angels appear and say, No problem. The same Jesus that you just saw go, he's coming back. You might as well be ready. You might as well be excited about it. Now flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you remember, this is also a passage we often read at funerals. But it's Paul's explanation of what's going to happen. Because chapter 4, and you know, they were looking for Jesus to come. They were believing for Jesus to return. And yet some of the members, you know, the Christians had died. And so they thought, well, now, wait a minute, what's going on? If these have already died. And Paul says in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, God gave Paul this special message, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul says, here's the sequence. The Lord Jesus shall descend. The dead in Christ, out of here. Living believers are out of here. And who will be left behind? Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul says, don't worry if you have dead, deceased loved ones, they're going to be the first to go. And you, if you're still alive, will be right behind them. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And I'm not going to read all the way from 19:11 through 20, verse 6, but here's what a lot of folks believe. There's going to be the rapture of the church that we just talked about from Thessalonians. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then there's going to be the final return of Jesus. Verse 11 of chapter 19 of Revelation. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The Jesus returning. Jesus returning. Now, folks, Jesus is coming back. Now, just when he's coming back, he says, I am not going to tell you. He said, you expect the signs. You just like you look out and the trees start budding out and getting leaves. You know there's going to be spring and summer very quickly. He said, you can start looking at the signs, but they're not all yet. Turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And here's the question. It's been 2,000 years. Why has Jesus not come back? Why is it Jesus not come back? Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willing or ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years of the day, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that should all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away like a great noise, elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth shall works therein shall be burned up. Why hadn't Jesus come back? He's wanting more people saved. And we won't turn there, but in the book of Matthew, where Jesus was talking about the second coming and his return, he says the gospel shall be preached in all the world or all the nations, and then the end will come. He talked about wars and rumors of war and tribulation and famine and everything else will come. But he said when the gospel is preached in all the world, that doesn't mean everybody in the whole world is going to be saved, but it does mean they're going to hear. They're going to hear. Some of you know, I've mentioned before, I have a friend who is a missionary in Colombia, South America. He also goes in Venezuela. And I'm talking about mountain tribes that they have to walk sometimes all 2 days to get there and cross the river 15 times. Can't even go in the rainy season when the river's in flood. This little tribe and that little tribe and this other little tribe. Someday, somebody's going to the last tribe and tell them about Jesus. And then the trumpet's going to blow. God wants people saved. I suspect that there are people here in Stanley County that don't know about Jesus. I don't mean that they haven't accepted Jesus. They don't even know about Jesus. You know, my last church before I moved away was in Haywood County. First Baptist in Waynesville, and some of you have been there. If you're not, it's a good place for ladies to go and shop. I used to go put my wife out, and I'd go to the car and read. And I'd say, well, I'll meet you down at the Mass General Store in 3 hours or whatever, you know. But one year they were inviting people to Bible school. And if you've ever been to Waynesville, you know there's a massive First Baptist church. Got a great big old steeple. And they were inviting people to Bible school, and they met some kids that had never, ever heard of Jesus. And they said from the front door they could see the steeple of that church. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants us all to come to repentance. Now, what should we be doing? Just stay right there in 2 Peter. While you're waiting on the Lord to come, what should we be doing? Verse 11. Seeing that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Holy conversation and godliness. We ought to be living a godly life. Verse 12, looking for and hasting for the coming of the Lord. Look for him. expect him. Verse 14, the last half. Be found in peace. Be found without spot, blameless. Live holy lives while you're looking for the Lord to come. We won't look there, but you remember in Matthew, there's a story of the virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to come, and five of them are prepared. They fall asleep and their lamps start going out, and all of a sudden they say, "Hey, he's coming." They jump up and they've got an extra little bucket of oil or some little and some jug or something. They pour it in their little lamps and they flare up. They're ready. The other five aren't ready. "Hey, we didn't bring any extra oil. Can we get some of yours?" "No, we don't have enough." And while they're running to buy oil, they're left out. They're totally left out. I don't know whether that means they lose their salvation or they just don't get to go into rapture or what, but I know this. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. While I was thinking about that scripture, I had to chuckle when I thought of this. If my doorbell rang and I looked out and there was Leonard and Kenny and Lionel, my deacons. And Leonard says, "Preacher," said, "we decided we're going to have deacons meeting at your house. Save you the drive out to the church." Would I say, "Guys, go get back in the car. I'll call you when I'm ready." And I get in there and grab the vacuum cleaner and grab the broom and the mop and wash all the dishes. And 30, 40 minutes later, I go, "Okay, come on in." Or would I be ready for them to come on in at any moment? Are we always ready? Are we always ready? I think of two not so pretty pictures. Years ago, especially before COVID, it was a common thing for pastors to visit in homes real often. And you know, it's strange when you knock on the door and somebody comes to the door and say, "Come on in, preacher." And you notice they're going and they're kicking their pornographic magazines under the couch. And you think, so that's what they were reading when the doorbell rang. Or I remember one time somebody had a TV on them. It's at least as big as that picture right there, if not bigger. And somebody I'd never visited before. They were a church member, but I'd never visited them before. They never came in the whole 16 years about that I was there. "Come on in, preacher." Oops, grabbed a remote and turned that TV off because of what I saw when I walked in their door. Are we ready for the Lord to come? Are we prayed up? Have we given what we should have given? Have we witnessed as we should witness? Are we endeavoring to live holy lives? Are we ready for Jesus to come? Are we really ready? The New Testament Christians totally believed Jesus could come at any moment. And as you read through over and over again, they're saying, "We need to be ready, we need to be ready, we need to be ready." In the book of James, he talked about, make sure I get you the right scripture. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. "Be patient to the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts. Be sure you're saved. Grudge not one against another. Treat your brothers and sisters in the Lord right. Suffer affliction with patience. Verse 10. Be truthful. Be prayerful. Pray for one another. Confess our sins. And then very last, let him that knoweth you convert a sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Lead people to Jesus, and lead backsliders to Jesus. It's not a matter of going and sitting in a recliner and say, well, I'm waiting on Jesus. No, it's a matter of being busy as we wait on Jesus. Being busy. Now, I'm going to read a song, and then I'm going to sing one if Jeff plays it right. But first, I'm going to read one right out of the hymn book. And then I'll explain about what Jeff's going to play. I remember us singing this in a long, long time. But I have been in church and we've sung it. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified. Over this whole world scattered wide. What if it were today? Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing will be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, caught up to meet him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? What if it were today? Faithful and true would he find us here. If he should come today, watching in gladness, not in fear. If he should come today, signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks through the sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Now we're going to do, in a few moments, we got to have church conference, quarterly conference. But before that, we're going to have an invitation. You just remain in your seat. If you feel led to come to the altar, you come. If you feel led to walk down the aisle, share something with me, feel led to come. If you don't want to stand up and shout, help yourself. I'll be tickled. May join you, may not, I don't know. And if you can listen to this song that Jeff's going to play and feel absolutely nothing, your wood has been underwater so long, I'm not sure the Lord can set you on fire again. Jeff? He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you have loved ones that aren't ready? Friends, neighbors. What if it were today? What if it were today? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make your face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.